Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits everything in your life, remember, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. 40 minutes from now, Jeff Kerr going to join us, CBSSports.com, CBS NFL writer, also coming up at 4:40 p.m. Eastern, as well as 1:40 p.m. Pacific. Bill Bender going to join us, Sporting News, national college football writer, talking about all the games today, all the games tomorrow, what everything means for BYU. BYU has to try to play someone in the Pac-12, all that coming up. I had my first thought today. Now, the story was broken by Adam Schefter of ESPN earlier, and this was about, sometime in the last 10 minutes. Sean mentioned it during the end of Jim Rome, that the game between the Ravens and Steelers, which we thought was going to probably get moved to Tuesday, is in fact going to get moved to Tuesday. I don't know what that does for Thursday. There's not a chance in hell they turn right around and play on a Thursday. So that game's probably just not going to happen. So there may very well just be no Thursday night football this week. I don't know if they draw straws. I don't think you can turn right around and make another couple of teams play on a Thursday. I don't think you can do anything like that. So instead of Thursday night football, we might just get Tuesday night football, and that might be the end of it. And it's probably the most fair thing. Because my very first thought, why are the Steelers mad? You get a little bit of extra rest. Joe Hayden, who was in a car accident earlier today, Joe Hayden actually says he's doing okay. Joe Hayden was practicing. Joe Hayden was feeling better. That's a nice addition to their defense again after some injuries. You had a couple of other guys getting back, and they're getting angry, and then I'm thinking, well, you know, rest is still going to be everything. Because you still got another game coming up the following Sunday. You want to have your rest. You want to have your days. You want to have your weekend where you can be home, get your feet up, watch the rest of this weekend, get ready for the next weekend, and get going. Plus, you have a Ravens team that's on the ropes. And because of this all starting, you have to feel that the Ravens team was on the ropes and how something might be getting uglier from the inside. Because when I break down the Ravens, and when you look at the problems that have happened on the field to the problems now that are happening in the facility, I think you're looking at an organizational breakdown that becomes a massive problem for them over time. Where I'm not just talking about something where, hey, when it happened to Tennessee, and Tennessee had a couple of, you know, they found a loophole to have some practices, get together, and I was like, all right, fine, you figured a way out around it. I still don't condone it. I still think it was a bit unscrupulous. I still think it was a little bit seedy. They still found a way to do it. They still ended up with whatever light punishment they had, maybe barely a noticeable fine, if anything, that was it. Raiders, they had themselves a problem. They had themselves a hefty fine. What I'm finding out about the Ravens, and when you have a strength and conditioning coach that did not report any of his symptoms, was not wearing the tracking device, which is a big no-no in these facilities right now. I mean, you have teams that are willing to spend upwards of $1 million to make sure that this season goes off. The team that I cover every single day has spent money to build, to section off, and to wall off to make sure that people don't go around each other, that Sales staff that has to be in the building or staff that has to be in the building stays in their part of the building. That any sort of media people that can't do their job from home stay away from the players, that the players and that staff is only in one spot of the building, and it's just like the factory in Willy Wonka. Nobody can go in. Nobody ever comes out. You do not look at each other. You are not around each other. In fact, with the tracer, there's certain parts where you go, and if you walk in, and this happened a little bit on the team that I cover, if you walked in a certain area, it would start to buzz, and they'd give you warnings because they don't want you over there, and they will fire you if they find you in certain spots. The whole basis of your job depends on whether or not they can get out there on that field and play. And when I have a strength and conditioning coach who was not doing the necessary or following through with the necessary precautions of wearing the monitor, of reporting symptoms down to the mask, while I'm upset, or while I would be upset as a Ravens fan with the strength and conditioning coach, how is that allowed over a course of time? Was this something that just started, or was this something that continued from training camp throughout the season? Because if I look around the NFL and you look around the world right now, I don't want to sit there and start blaming name games and start pointing at people. I think what we're finding out is that this is something that you can do what you can. You should wash up. You should social distance. You should wear your mask. You should do a lot of things to make sure that you are taking care of yourself and in turn taking care of others. And making a little bit of a sacrifice of comfort to make sure that this thing gets ended as soon as we possibly can. And that in somewhere short time of future compared to the rest of our lives, we can get back to a somewhat functioning normal society. Or a functioning somewhat normal society is what I should say. If you're not doing everything that you're supposed to do and holding those accountable, is that an organizational problem? Or is this just this assistant strength and conditioning coach's problem? Is there somebody being thrown under the bus because your organization is not doing what's needed to be done? I don't feel bad for the Steelers. They're a professional football team. Rest means everything. They must get ready for the next week's game. They must be able to get ready for the next week's opponent. They should be okay. But to move a game from a Thursday to a Tuesday, not just for the Steelers, but to everything, has long-term ramifications through the sport, through the sport's money, and has big problems. I don't like calling for people's jobs. They have families. This is their livelihood. But if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're the Ravens assistant strength and conditioning coach, if you're not doing what's supposed to be done, you are putting your livelihood at risk as well as those around you and the health and safety of those around you, and in turn, their families as well. Mistakes happen. It's a virus. Things happen. It's airborne. But from the month of March on, if this were mid-March, if you had a comment on it, if you thought it was just going to be like SARS or some of the other things before, hey, you know what? It was March. It was still early. We didn't know as much. But we're in month 9 of this. And maybe there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But if you're not doing what is necessary to be done to make sure that you are going to be upright and all right, and that your organization is going to be upright and all right, and that at its very base, because I could talk about our social responsibilities, and rightfully maybe we should, but at its very base, getting on the field, getting the game on television, getting the advertisers what they're due, getting them their value, and in turn paying you your money, if you're not doing it, then you're not welcome in the National Football League. It's about one thing and one thing only. It's about them making their money. The players worked at it. The organizations worked at it. The owners worked at it. The TV brands worked at it. Every single entity around the NFL, we're not going to cost ourselves money over time. We are going to try as best we can to save money, to be through this as best we can, and to forge ahead for 2021, 2022, and 2023. It was almost a fact of trying to sneak this season in. Just trying to get it under the radar. Okay, we'll get ourselves to a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. Might have a smattering of fans there. We'll see how it goes. We'll crown a champion, and then we'll move on. We'll go right to the draft, and hopefully things will be better by the time we kick off for 2021, and hopefully we'll get in underneath this. And when you mess it up, you create problems for everybody. So usually, I hate calling for jobs, But if you can't be responsible, you probably leave me no other recourse. But again, were the Ravens allowing it? And what did the Ravens cost? The Ravens cost the NFL and NBC Thanksgiving night ratings. They'll be able to make up some of that on a Tuesday. There will be nothing else really going on Tuesday, maybe some action there for the gamblers, but you know, they can still watch their action and still – I'm not sure if there's a game on in the MAC on Tuesday. I assume there's a game on in the MAC on Tuesday. But you can watch that game. You can take that game in if you really want to. For the general populace, there will be a lot of eyes on it again, but still people have to work on a Wednesday. It'll still have to be a little bit earlier in the day, and it's not a Thanksgiving Day game. So if you're creating problems with ratings, if you're creating problems overall because ratings always mean revenue, if you're creating these problems, then you must pay the fiddler. And for the Ravens, and I asked the question on Twitter right before I started the show, and I'll just ask you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, you know, what should be done about the Ravens here? Because hopefully this game goes off, they play on Tuesday, and things will be somewhat, some way, hopefully a little bit back to normal, even though they'll probably have to play with Bob Griffin or Chase McSorley or something like that. But what should be done to the Ravens? If they play the game, you could say punishment enough. If they don't play the game, this opens up an entire problem. If they're still not able to play on Tuesday, and they're going to do their damnedest to get that damn game in on Tuesday, especially with those two teams, with the amount of money they mean, you all know. If you can't play that game on Tuesday, lost revenue, the Ravens should be fined, they should lose picks. It's that simple. You might want to say the problem that I'm going to have here is you're going to want to say forfeit. And I'm going to say that's fine. Go ahead, give them a loss. Ravens are 6-4 now. You want to make them 6-5, you go right on ahead and do so. If you want to make the Ravens 6-5, please, by all means, go right on ahead. They deserve what's coming to them. Can I, though, give the Steelers a win? Can I give the Steelers a win without actually taking the field, putting players in danger, and actually earning that victory? I can give Baltimore a loss. And if we were talking high school football across the country or college football across the country to some level, especially when it's voted upon for the college football playoff, we can have argument, we can have dictation over it, then fine, maybe that's okay. Can I give the Steelers a win for not going out on the field and actually earning the victory? I don't think I want to give them a tie. That does them no good. Doesn't hurt them, but it certainly doesn't do them no good. And in fact, if a team ends up with more wins than them, maybe they lose that. It's still up for grabs. They're a 10-0 football team. There's still six games left to play. There's a lot of things that can happen for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So then do I turn around and I say, maybe we meet it halfway and we say, if this game has to be forfeited by the Baltimore Ravens, can I get you to meet me halfway and give me win percentage? Because around the league, there will be other teams that line up, and they will have a chance to lose. They will have a chance to lose the football game. They'll have a chance to be injured in a 60-minute contest. They will have traveled to different places, put themselves at personal risk to go out and earn that victory. And when you slice it between 32 owners where people can get quite litigious with it, can I just turn around and hand over a win to a team that did what? That followed protocol? Like 30 other teams are supposed to do, leaving the Ravens out of this? And yeah, there's other positive tests, which is something the Ravens are going to argue about as well. There's other positive tests around the league. Can I just hand you a win for doing what 30 other teams are willing to do, putting the Ravens in the spot where you did wrong, you didn't do what you were supposed to do? Can I hand you a win when the other teams went out there and put themselves at personal risk, personal injury? Can I just hand you a victory? If this were high school and college, yeah. But in professional football, in the game's highest level, I just don't think I can. I'll meet you halfway on win percentage. We can go by win percentage. They would still have a 1,000% win percentage. That'd be pretty good. And if they finish with 15 games and Say they finish with one loss, then maybe their win percentage just helps them out even more. They should be a perfectly fine enough team to get the number one overall seed. It should be a moot point. Should be, but isn't guaranteed. But I just can't hand you a win for doing what 30 other teams are doing with you. Following protocol, wearing your monitors, trying to do what's right. I can't hand them wins for it. I can't hand you a win for it. So I have this conundrum where it is not fair to the Steelers to do this. I totally understand that. Now that we're going into Tuesday, the Steelers will have another game coming up. Now we're leaning into an area that is not fair. And we want to get the game on the field. That's the first and foremost priority of the NFL. Get the game in the stadium, on the field, get it on TV, get the people to do that. In the words of the great Vince McMahon, or I should say his father, get the match in the ring. Which this would be the late, great Vince McMahon, because it's his father. Find a way, get it in the ring, get people's eyes on it. Find a way, get the game on the field, get people's eyes on it. If they could watch it, then it'll make sense. Get that game on the field, get them a chance to watch it. I can't just turn around. And while I'm more than willing to give the Ravens a loss, they didn't deserve it. They have not gone out and earned a win. They have done wrong by themselves. They have done wrong by the NFL. It's easier to give them a loss if they have to forfeit this game. It's easy to give them a loss. I just don't think I can give the Steelers a win. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. What's fair? What's fair in this? What's fair and just punishment for the Ravens? What's fair and just for the Steelers? Because there should be some fairness. We have owners here. I don't care how successful the Steelers are. They're the best team, really, in the NFL. Them and the Chiefs, two of the best teams in the NFL. I know that nobody's going to cry a river of tears, but what's fair is fair is what's fair, and the Steelers didn't do anything wrong in this case. Hell, they didn't do anything wrong in the case against the Tennessee Titans either. So I got to call it down the line the best I can. As much as they're 10-0 and Big Ben might bother people or whatever, I can't do it that way. So what's fair, what's right? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We got Jeff Kerr coming up. It's all you guys coming up next. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance together. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Jeff Kerr going to join us here in just about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk to him about everything coming up this week in the NFL, what's to happen with the Ravens, and what really should happen to the Ravens. So we got people in here. I'm going to get to them here in a second. If you want them to forfeit, which, and I'm getting some great tweets on it, by the way, at Ken Carmen on Twitter. Where the Hudson View, I think he hits it. He actually hits it out of the park for history's sake. Says Ken, the Steelers want to play, and a cancellation or forfeit is out of the question. Why? History. It's not too early to consider that the Steelers are chasing perfection. Anything but a victory on the field would mar that. That's actually 100% true. I just look at the money. I'm just trying to follow the dollars. What is the contract for Sunday Night Football? Is it like $950 million a year? Something silly. That sounds outrageous, but it's something like $950 million. And so you're trying to make money back. I get all that. I don't know if it's a year, but you're trying to get money back on that, especially during this year. And what the Ravens did or what they allowed to happen, because you can't say that this just happened over the last couple of days. It didn't. It didn't just happen over the last couple of days. If we're hearing from sources that, well, you know, this assistant strength and conditioning coach, he was found not to be wearing his tracker a few times, and then he didn't report his systems, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, well, this had to happen over a course of time. So there had to be some reprimanding going on, and maybe there was. Maybe they were doing exactly what they were allowed to do per contractual agreement with a coach. Who knows? We'll find out more about the Ravens later. We'll find out exactly what their responsibility was. But I just know covering another team that's in that division, they won't allow that to be an excuse. So it's, what did you allow to happen? And if you allowed it, what Hudson View said is totally true. you want to make sure you get that game in. You want to have the chance to chase the history. You want to have a chance to chase the perfection. Because if you are actually perfect, and we can argue whether or not they actually have a shot at it or if it's worth it to go for the gusto, yeah, you're 10-0. You might as well try. You're trying to win every single game. I don't think Mike Tomlin's hoping that the team loses at some point. We'll find out week 17, because if they're 16-0, or if they're 15-0, do they go for that extra week? Do they try to make sure that they seal it up to go 16-0 and then go into the postseason? We'll find out. But I think if you're doing this, and if we're talking money, then in the back of Mike Tomlin's mind, there has to be, hey, if they're able to do this, this is something that each one of these guys can market for the rest of their lives. The only reason I know who Mercury Morris is because of the 72 Dolphins. He would have just been another guy who ended up in prison over drug charges. My dad's a Dolphins fan from way back, and I roll my eyes every time he brings up the 72 Dolphins, and he actually gets mad at me. That team was special to him. And guys who are on that team from who just passed, Jake Scott, Nick Bonacani, who just passed, Don Shula, the head coach, Earl Morrill, Bob Greasy, Manny Fernandez, Bob Kuchenberg. Those guys, I can name them right off the top of my head. Paul Warfield, Jim Kick, Larry Zonka. See, I can continue to do it because of my father. And those guys were able to market that for the rest of their lives. That has to be something in the back of Mike Tomlin's head, that this is still a business. And it should be in the back of the player's head. If you do go 16-0, if you are able to complete a perfect season, you don't have to work again. You're always going to be able to have a signing somewhere. There's always going to be a card show somewhere. There's always going to be a Comic-Con in Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania, somewhere in there where you can go and you can sign autographs and take pictures and do that. And you can make money off your own name. So this is a delicate thing. It's easy for me to say, well, the Ravens should forfeit. I can't just turn over and give you a win if you're the Steelers. And you want the opportunity to earn that. Curtis in Cleveland, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's up, homie?
Curtis, what's going on?
Hey,
go ahead.
Man, I can tell you, man, listen, real quickly. They've been dangling this carrot at the end of the stick all day here in Cleveland Sports Radio. Kate Carver's going to come on at 3 o'clock. He's going to be on Nats Radio. So they had a guy fill in for you guys this morning. You and Lyman, he is all right. Then they had Fedor cover a little bit. But let me tell you, I know you're loving it. That you ain't got Lyman tagging out you all day today.
Man, wait a minute. I don't love it. I really don't. I don't, because there's always going to be Curtis, there's always going to be a karma feeling to it. When it comes to stuff like, when it comes to injuries and especially things like this, if we're being honest with you, my bottom line is affected if the season is affected. I want them to get in all 16 games. Yes, you know what side of the fence I'm on, and yes, I want my football team to do well if we're talking from a fandom standpoint here, but I do want to make sure they get all the games in. And I'm just looking at something that seems to be pretty irresponsible, so something needs to be punished, but I also want to make sure they get the game in so there's an opportunity to earn a win for the Steelers instead of just either give them a win or have to do it on win percentage. I think that would be – like, say the Steelers do go 15-0 and then win out throughout the playoffs and they end up 18-0 and not 19-0. There's always going to be, like, a weird asterisk there. And while, yeah, as a fan, I would want them to lose, I don't want them to have to deal with anything
that. We want the Ravens to win my understanding is that the game is going to be on Thursday and that they're going to move the Ravens and Cowboys game Thursday to Sunday.
As far as I know, you're going to move it on Tuesday because you have a Ravens game or you have another game that's coming up on Thursday. So they're moving the game to Tuesday.
They're going to move Tuesday. That game to Sunday.
Yeah, of course they got to move that game to
so
Sunday.
The girls in Pittsburgh can stop whining about losing their bye. They're getting it right now.
Oh, hell.
Right? And if you're in Cleveland, we're still chasing the division title. They got the Ravens and the Colts and the Bills on their schedule. They're going three games that's tough to me.
Well, Curtis,
they want
Curtis,
them guys
Curtis.
To lose a couple of those games.
But I can understand it. I can understand why. At first, I didn't understand why the Steelers were upset, and then I thought for 3 minutes, and then I go, yeah, I can totally understand why the Steelers are upset. Because if you were their coach, and Curtis, thank you very much for the call and the kind words, my friend. If you were their coach, if you were Mike Tomlin, you want to control everything you possibly can. Everything you can control, you try to control. So to mess with your rest, and this is the second time this has happened now, to mess with rest, to mess with scheduling, to have to do any of this stuff when you're trying to seal up your division, you're trying to seal up a number one seed, is not going to be something that you like. Especially because now, if you're the Steelers – you lost your bye week because you practiced throughout the week. Then they're, well, this is your bye week. It's like going to work and saying, hey, this is your vacation now. You get a day off. This is your vacation. So you lost your bye week. You're trying to make up a bye week now by getting the number one overall seed. So you're chasing history, you're chasing money, and you're also chasing the opportunity to have a seat to get ready for the rest of the postseason. So there's a lot at stake for the Steelers. So if they're angry, I got to understand that they're definitely angry about it and why they're angry about it. 855-212-4CBS coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. I actually wanted to defend Mike McCarthy, and then yesterday happened. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about this game with the Steelers and Ravens and all the histrionics going on. Jeff Kerr going to join us, CBS NFL writer. He's coming up next. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Erica Herskowitz. It's Ken Carman in for Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS, Ken Carman in for Tiki and Tierney. Tom Pelissero tweeting, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, his positive test came in Thursday's round of COVID-19 testing. He still won't play Tuesday night against the Steelers, but based on the timeline, it's possible he could be cleared in time for the rescheduled December 7th game against the Cowboys, as Cowboys-Ravens has been pushed from Thursday to that following Monday at 5 p.m. So we get more Monday Night Football, so that's always a fun thing for everybody. Talk a little bit more about that with Jeff Kerr. And then I got it, by the way, we took a call from Curtis in Cleveland at 4 o'clock Eastern. I gotta bring James on because I got to tell you this story because it everything went to hell in my world here in the last 1 minute of the Iowa State-Texas game, and we'll get to that coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. 855-212-4CBS. Let's get to Jeff Kerr, though. Jeff Kerr, one of the finest out there, NFL writer for CBS Sports, one of the very best, also a Penn State. Jeff, can I ask you something?
Go ahead, Ken.
Let me ask you this. Find him on Twitter at Jeff Kerr CBS, by the way. James Franklin, in or out after this year? Go.
I got to go in. I got to stay in. Got to give him a chance to fix this mess, whatever mess he created at Penn State. The problem with James Franklin right now is I think he's too worried about his family and what's going on in his personal life with his daughter and that sickle cell trait. They're not with him this year. I think that's ultimately hindered the whole team. So I give him next year for sure. And plus, there's a 30 million reasons why he will be in next year.
Should he take – well, there's – yeah, the money's involved too. Should he maybe have taken the year to deal with that then? I mean, it's always hindsight's 20/20, but, man, this is – it's rough for Penn State this season, but.
When he admitted it after the 0-2 start, I was just like, you know what? Go home. Go with your family. Like, this season's a wash anyway. I hate to say it. I did not want the Big Ten to come back. I was not in favor of it. I didn't like the 3 weeks. The whole thing was just a mess. Like, this is the first year I really haven't dug into college football. I tried to get into it in September, and I'm like, there's just no point right now. I don't know. I think COVID's ruined college football for me. NFL, no, because it's kind of been on a schedule, even though it's been helter-skelter the last couple weeks or so, but college football's been all over the place.
I'll tell you this, Jeff, for me, and I know we're here to talk NFL, but I'll tell you this, for me, it's been not the exact opposite because I try to pay attention to as much college football as I can every single year, but I think I've been even more zoned in on it because I don't, like, if they have to, okay, we got to just shut down college football, like, I don't want to miss any of it. So before, when I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to go do yard work here for the 12 o'clock games because there's no good 12 o'clock games, like, no, I'm going to watch them. Here we go. It's very weird.
Yeah, that's how I felt with this. Like, of all the conferences I've probably watched the most this year, it's probably been the Sun Belt because that Coastal Carolina team's phenomenal to watch. And the ACC, they've been the two that I felt had started since week one. I know the SEC's had, I guess they started week three or so, but it's been fascinating watching Notre Dame evolve this year and them actually taking down Clemson. I know Clemson had their backup five-star freshman quarterback, but still, it's an interesting storyline there. And, you know, teams like Coastal Carolina, I got to watch more, but, you know, the Big Ten, Pac-12, AAC, I kind of wish they would have sat out the year. Like, it would have been a weird year, but if you didn't start in September, I felt there was no point.
Jeff Kerr joining us, NFL writer, CBS Sports. Find him on Twitter, at Jeff Kerr CBS. So we finally got some schedules pounded out here. We were kind of going back and forth for the last 40 minutes, finally got some things hammered down. I understand why the Steelers are upset. You want to make sure your rest is important, and you want to make sure your schedule is controlled. What do you think ought to happen to the Ravens? Is there a punishment here? Is there something punitive that the NFL can find?
I think the NFL's got to do a thorough investigation of this, and that this is what's so confusing to me about the story. It just keeps happening. Like, but the problem is you didn't really discipline the Titans. You didn't discipline all these other teams that had these COVID violations. So what are you going to do about the Ravens? You're just going to let them off scot-free now that because you had to change your schedule around again? And I get why the Steelers are upset. They lost the bye week. They lost this Thursday night game, which to me, this is what I don't get about Steelers players. I get you're probably excited to play on Thanksgiving, but you're upset about playing a primetime game, about not playing a primetime game. You're upset that your game's getting pushed back. I guess you wanted the holiday weekend. I don't understand that logic there. But, again, you play Tuesday night and then you play a short week on Sunday. So you're still kind of getting a mini bye. I don't know. Like, I get the Steelers' complaints, but it just seems awkward to me that you're upset about not having to play a football game in primetime. I don't know. It's motivation.
At first I agreed with you. And then I just thought about, again, the schedule of, you remember the Tennessee game that happened that was supposed to happen, and they basically grinded you out because, well, this is your bye week now. Okay, we practiced all week, but now it's our bye week. And then this happens, and so I think that even though it's a game, they're doing very, very well, you can still be grinded out during a season. And now I think Pittsburgh, the only thing they have left to do is to try to get that number one overall seed and get a bye week that way.
And I think maybe that's why they're upset, because it's not like the Steelers are way ahead of everybody here in the AFC playoff race. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are one game behind them, and the Steelers know one slip up, they could lose that. And I think that's what they're looking at it as. Look, we didn't get a bye week. We need to play for this bye week probably more than anybody else in the league, and we may not get it because the Ravens can't police themselves. Like, is this what it's coming down to? So I think the Steelers really want to play this game, destroy the Ravens, and kind of have that weekend to themselves. That's where I could see their gripe in there. But, I think the Steelers are good enough where I don't think it's going to matter. I think Mike Tomlin just knows how to motivate that team and push all the right buttons for them that they just take it out on the opponent. I think they're going to do that Tuesday night.
By the way, Ben Axelrod reporting that the Ohio State coach Ryan Day has tested positive for COVID-19. The school announced he will not coach the team against Illinois coming up tomorrow. Jeff Kerr joining us on the show, NFL writer for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, @JeffKerrCBS. Is there a problem right now? COVID aside, obviously that's a major concern. But from the football standpoint, is there something really wrong with Lamar Jackson this year? Are we being too nitpicky? Or is Greg Roman not handling him correctly?
You know, there was one thing that really bothered me about the Ravens. I was watching them earlier this year, and it's something you don't notice until you watch them on film. They really, really missed Hayden Hurst this year. Hayden Hurst was a great number two tight end for them, and nothing against Nick Boyle, but they haven't been able to run that 13 personnel that was so successful for them last year when they had Boyle, when they had Hurst, and when they had Mark Andrews. And now it just seems like it's Mark Andrews and Nick Boyle, and Boyle just doesn't provide the receiving punch that Hayden Hurst does. And now you're seeing Baltimore's wide receivers aren't that good. Like Marquise Brown, I thought he'd take a big step this year. Didn't happen. Willie Sneed, slot receiver, that's about it. Miles Boykin, again, he hasn't developed like he should. These guys, it just doesn't seem they're that good. I mean, when Dez Bryant's getting four catches for you in a game after not playing for pretty much 3 years, you got a problem. And I do think part of it's Lamar. I think teams are now starting to take away the running lanes from him and making him become a pocket passer. But let's be realistic here. Baltimore has the worst wide receiver core in the NFL, and it's not even close.
Jeff Kerr joining us on the show. So, well, because I just want to be fair to him, because I think there was a lot of people who were waiting for the other shoe to drop, his rookie season and last season, and now this year. And, hey, you didn't win in the playoffs. You got what's coming to you. I get that. You're going to play big boy football. You're going to get big boy criticism. But I just feel it's going, hey, what you're saying is true. And when you mentioned Nick Boyle, Nick Boyle's a great blocking tight end, so that affects your running game. When you mentioned the other injury, like, you had Mark Andrews open in last week's game. You didn't find Mark Andrews. Again, how much is going to be put on him? And he's still a guy who's in his third year that last year was working on his throwing motion. He still needs to be taken care of as a quarterback, Jeff.
Yeah, he does. And that's the other thing that bothers me with Lamar. I feel like Tennessee – in that divisional playoff game, they did a little bit to make him throw more of those 15 to 20 yard passes. I'm going by air yards here. But last year when he was making those throws, guys were wide open. And I think this is where we go back to the Greg Roman thing here. Greg Roman needs to find a way to get these guys open if they can get them. Maybe I need to watch a little bit more Ravens film, but it just seems to me that nothing just seems to be going right for them. Like, overall, the running game isn't as dominant as it was last year. Yeah, they get a lot of yards, but their yards per carry isn't 5.3 like it was last year. It's down from last year. And, yeah. You know, as you mentioned, Ronnie Stanley being out, I think that's a big loss for them. They're just beat up across the board. I'm actually surprised Lamar's been able to hold up throughout this season because he's been getting hit a lot too. But, yeah, there are certain plays, like you mentioned, the Mark Andrews play. He's open, Lamar's just missing. Maybe Lamar's just pressing a little bit. I don't know, but yeah, Lamar needs to work on his game, no doubt about it, but I do think he needs more talent around him. I'd love to see Lamar with the Chiefs personnel.
Jeff Kerr joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter at JeffKerrCBS. After the Joe Burrow injury, do you think we need to do things differently in the NFL draft?
How do you want to phrase that, Ken? Like, just
Was there anything where you could look at this and go, you know, you're looking at – because the only thing I would think – I wouldn't change anything. I think that this is kind of the breaks. But you're in a situation where he's throwing 50 to 60 times a game sometimes. He's trying to save a coach's job. It was a recipe for some really nasty stuff.
I'll tell you what. Yeah, and you know what? Amy Trask brought this up a couple weeks ago, that the Bengals should probably sit Joe Burrow, and she got a lot of criticism on Twitter for it. And I actually agree with her because of what you said, Ken. He was throwing the ball 40 times a game. That's unheard of in an empty backfield with a terrible offensive line and a running game that wasn't as good as it was last year. Now, Joe Mixon's been productive, but overall, the run blocking schemes were terrible. So this was the best way for the Cincinnati Bengals to win football games. They were a competent football team because of Joe Burrow. And I think we saw Sunday what happens when you take Joe Burrow out of the equation. They are just a god-awful football team. They may be worse than the Jaguars. They may be worse than the Jets. That's how much of a difference Joe Burrow made for them. So is this a way we have to say? I don't know. I love seeing rookie quarterbacks sling the ball around like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, but you know, Amy was right. They had to protect Joe Burrow from himself, and maybe that was the way to not have him throw the ball 40 times a game, but actually sit the guy when you're out for the season because you know what you got. He's your franchise quarterback. Now you're not sure if the franchise quarterback is going to go the way of Carson Wentz, where he's going to lose all this mobility and he's not going to be the same player, or he'll come back stronger than ever. Either way, you're not going to get the Joe Burrow that you got the first 10 games this year, especially next year. It may be till next December before we even see a shadow of what Joe Burrow could be. You almost wasted another season.
Jeff Kerr with us. Who deserves to win the NFC East?
I'll go with the Washington football team. It's a bad division. It's a really bad division. I think the Eagles, they can win the division even with their schedule. I said a couple weeks ago they could lose this five-game stretch and start with Cleveland where they play all these teams with six-plus wins. And as long as they beat Washington and Dallas at the end of the season, they could still do it at 5-10-1. But I think it's going to be Washington just because of their schedule. I know Pittsburgh's going to be tough. And I know it's going to be a short week for Pittsburgh now that what we know. But Washington's still got Carolina. I think they can beat them. It's a shame that – I mean, they beat the Eagles already, so – and they can run the ball. Ron Rivera's a really good coach. I think Washington can get the six. I really do. I think six wins is going to win the division. So I'll go with Washington. But if he somehow get into a tiebreaker with the Giants, I'm just going to laugh because let's be real here. No one from this division deserves to go to the playoffs. But – I'll side with Ron Rivera. I'll side with Washington. I like the story, and I like the comeback story with Alex Smith.
See, I agree because it's like, well, Doug Peterson doesn't deserve it. I think they messed up this whole thing, even with the injuries. The Giants, I could actually give you an argument for the Giants. Joe Judge is doing his best to hold that whole thing together. With Dallas, absolutely not, especially after this embarrassment of what we saw yesterday. And I'm thinking, hey, Ron Rivera, gosh, with what he's dealing with personally and everything, I think Washington would have that best chance to say that somebody deserves it. Let me ask you this. Who's the MVP right now?
Patrick Mahomes.
Can I make a comparison with you? Can I make a comparison with you here, Jeff?
Go ahead.
Because we don't have a lot of time. I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to get the LeBron James treatment.
You know what? I think you're right because he's that good. We expect that much out of him. And.
Yep.
it could be a guy like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, or Ben Roethlisberger just because it's not Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, you're right, because we expect Patrick Mahomes to throw for 55 touchdowns, 5,000 yards. But here's the thing. He's having a better year now than he did 2 years ago, and the Chiefs are still 9-1 and playing at a very high level of football.
I totally agree. I totally agree. Jeff, was there anything you wanted me to ask you? Oh, I knew I wanted to ask you this because I thought we were going to run out of more time. Let me ask you this. You are a 300 bowler, right?
Yes.
It's a very weird question to ask you at the end, but I'm going to do it anyway. You're a 300 bowler. Take me through the moment where you finished up that final strike. Very quickly, go.
Okay, so I'll put it to you as short as I can. First shot in the 10th I pulled. Second shot I buried. I said, this is my one shot at getting this ring. I'm not blowing it. As soon as I threw it, I knew I had it. But bowling is such a funny game. And I'm like, it, you know, I didn't even think solid 8 pin, solid 10 pin. And there's a video of it. I yelled, come on, as soon as I threw it. I went absolutely nuts. I don't get, like, too emotional when it comes to sports. That, yeah. I did. And I played sports my whole life. But that was the moment where I'm like, I finally did something that took a lot of hard work to do. So it was an awesome moment. My sister got it on videotape. I'll tell everybody that story. Now I'm on the hunt for my second one. I've been close a couple times, but still haven't gotten it yet.
What time of year was it? Do you remember?
It was June 9th, 2016.
You did it in the summer?
Yeah.
You know those lanes get all warped during the summertime, brother.
Yeah,
I don't need to tell you that.
I'll tell you what, Ken. It, really funny story. I said to my sister going into that third game, I was shooting 398, and I was like, you know, I'm struggling. If I shoot 600, I'm going to be happy. I know I was going to get 12 strikes in a row, and it was a fun night. I don't remember too much after
Jeff,
that night, but I definitely remember that moment.
Jeff, I swear to God, next time we're coming on, next time you're coming on, I want you to take me frame by frame, okay?
Oh, I'll do it. I'll tell you every shot I pulled. I'll tell you every ball I threw. I'll tell you where I stood. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Jeff, we thank you very much. Jeff Kerr, NFL writer, CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Kerr CBS. It's amazing. Coming up next, I actually want to defend Mike McCarthy. Then yesterday happened. And Patrick Mahomes, meet LeBron James. It's Ken Carmen in for Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.